Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hi, Happy New Year 2007. Hi, welcome to Travel Advice. I'm Chris Newton and my co-host Jerry Fuller.
Good evening.
Yeah, hi Jerry, Happy New Year.
Thank you, same to you.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, and we have a special guest today. We have Dr. Linda Rothstein. She's the Director of the International Tourism and Hospitality Management at the University of Utah in Salt Lake City, and she's an avid traveler, and she's been all around the world. She's been to South America, Africa, all around North America, China very extensively, and she's just an excellent traveler, and she actually studies and does research about sustainable travel, sustainable tourism and development, and about travel motivation. So welcome, Linda. Hi.
Thank you, Chris. Hi. I'm thrilled to be here. Happy New Year to everyone.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, for the whole world. We have listeners all over the whole world there, and it's a great way to start the new year talking about travel planning, because I think right now is a good time when the weather maybe isn't as good to travel right now, and just plan your travels throughout the year there. And did you guys do anything exciting over New Year's there? New Year's Eve, Jerry?
Well, no, not really. This is the first New Year's that we've actually been home.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yes, we had friends over and had a party last night. Normally we're out of state or out of country. During the winter season, during Christmas, because we like to travel. Both my wife and I have the time off. But this time, for various other reasons, family reasons, we stayed home, has been interesting. Actually, it's kind of fun for a change, but we'd rather be traveling.
That's great.
Well, I kind of stayed home as well. I didn't do anything exciting besides to see how different places celebrate the new year. And so that always gives me the travel bug when I watch that as well.
Right.
What did you do, Chris?
Yeah, I was with – actually, it was kind of a good experience. I went over to a home, a Spanish couple from Spain, and they – it was like we went to a dinner that was very traditional Spanish meal. Hmm. And I learned a tradition last night. I don't know if you guys ever heard about this, but in Spain, I guess, 12 seconds before the new year – they actually eat 12 grapes per second there.
Really?
You have to eat all 12 grapes by the time the new year hits. Yeah, and if you don't eat the grapes within the 12 seconds, your wish won't come true. But if you make a wish and then you eat all the grapes, then your wish comes true. Yeah.
How clever.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Great.
Isn't that interesting? Yeah. Have you guys ever heard of that before?
Never.
Yeah. And
I've been to Spain probably 50 times.
Yeah, I couldn't. In Spain, I guess they were saying that most of the grapes have seeds in them, you know, and we had the grapes last night that didn't have any seeds, so it was pretty easy for us to do 12 grapes in 12 seconds there.
Right.
But I made it there, it was a good welcome to the new year, it was exciting there, But
well, let me ask you, Linda, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
About trip planning, when you go on a trip or when you're thinking of a destination or whatever, what is the very first thing that you do in planning your trip?
Well, the very first thing I like to do is I like to try to find out what it is about that destination that most interests me. So, for instance, when I was first going to China, I wanted to learn as much as I could about the culture, because that's what attracted me. It's so different. And I wanted to find out as much about that as possible. Fortunately, the Internet is just a wonderful resource for getting a lot of information right away. But there's, fortunately, in our community, too, there's a good number of people who are of Chinese descent. And I could talk to them about some of their experiences and find out, just like you were talking about Spain, the grapes, things that help bring it alive for you instead of just going there and standing behind a camera and taking pictures. I like to experience it.
Yeah, I agree. Now, let me ask another question. For example, me, usually whenever I plan a trip, what really gets me started on the trip is I either see a movie that's filmed someplace that I haven't been to in a long time or never, or I read a book, or I hear something, or something motivates me to say, I want to go there. I want to go back there and do it a different way or something. And the same as you. Then you start researching and say, how do I get there?
Exactly. You know, it's usually the first thing you do is you find out what is it about it that really excites you. And, mm-hmm. for instance, in seeing a movie as you suggested, or sometimes it's just a commercial on television, you see something,
right.
and you're like going, oh, that looks like a great place to go.
I know.
And so you
but
start
you
checking
remember,
it out.
I know. You remember a long time ago, and I can't even remember the product, but some perfume I think it was. There's a guy and a girl riding toward each other on a beach, and he's wearing like one of these white shirts that maybe a buccaneer wore or something, and they're coming together, and it's some sort of a perfume. And I thought, where did they film that? It was wonderful. And it turned out that it was in the Basque area of France.
Oh.
And
ah.
so I said, ah, I want to find that beach. It's a beautiful beach. So I went over there just to look at that beach and came back. That's insane. But it's so interesting and so intriguing. I said, I want to do it. So, I mean, weird. It can be some really weird thing that can excite you, like a commercial, as you mentioned, or something like that. Mm-hmm.
I know this last year I went to Ireland, and mm-hmm. one of my movies that I saw a long time ago was Ryan's Daughter. I think that
right.
was it. It's an old movie.
Right.
And so I wanted to go there and go to the western side of the island just so I could see where that was filmed and to walk mm-hmm. along the beach. And it was just like it was in the movie. And I was just like going, wow, I finally made it.
I know.
Do you worry so much about the time of year that you go? Is that a critical factor?
Sometimes for places it is a critical factor, and so I always check out the weather before I go. I just know that, you know, sometimes the activities you want to do are not necessarily easiest to do during the heat of the hottest time of the year. But
right.
then again, if like when I went to the Amazon, I had to be careful not to go during the wettest
right.
of the season so that I could actually enjoy myself and get around without having to be thigh deep in mud.
And also rain. Oh, that
oh, yeah.
can be quite an experience in the rain, let me tell you.
Yes.
Mosquitoes, I'm sure, like the really large mm-hmm. mosquitoes.
Well, one
well
thing
I think that happens all the year there.
Yeah, right. Uh-huh.
Well, I know a lot of times with a company that I own called Travel Advice, we have people that are very cost conscious. And so, for example, and this just happened a couple of months ago, we had a client that contacted us. They wanted to go to Switzerland, and they wanted to go in between Thanksgiving and Christmas. They didn't want to be there Thanksgiving or Christmas, but the first part of December. Because that's the reason that motivated them is that's when there's cheap airfare.
Okay.
So as a result, we said, what do you want to do there? And they told us what they wanted to do. I mean, when you think of Switzerland, you think of the Alps, and you think of Heidi and William Tell. And,
exactly.
And the beautiful lakes and the green. And you think of cheese and all kinds of stuff. You think it's a magnificent, beautiful place. But what they wanted to do was to go and spend 1 week in Zurich because they could get round trip from New York to Zurich, including hotel and everything, for under $1,000. So they were going to go to Zurich for 1 week and come back, and they were asking our opinion. Have you or Linda been to Zurich?
I haven't. I've been close to Zurich, but I haven't been.
Well, that's as close as you need to be.
Yeah. I've been in the Alps.
I was there like 25 years ago.
but Zurich is a beautiful, wonderful place for museums and shopping for watches and things. But it is, in my opinion, it is not Switzerland.
Right.
It is not your image of Switzerland. Because downtown Zurich could be downtown anywhere, big city. There's some exceptions, but basically, after we talked, what they really wanted was Grindelwald. And so we recommended that they go to Lucerne for a couple of days and then go to Grindelwald for a few days, and that would give them the experience that they wanted of Switzerland. Actually, what they did is they took that package because it's so cheap with the airfare, and they did stay one night in Switzerland at the end of their hotel. They checked in the hotel, and then they went to Lucerne. Then they stayed in Lucerne, went to Grindelwald, and came back and stayed there last night and came home. So Do you ever find that, Chris and Linda, that have you ever taken a trip that you felt like you didn't get the full benefit from it, or that you felt like it wasn't what you thought it might be in your planning process?
Well, and the thing is, a lot of times if you buy a package and you're just buying it because it was the best price, I find that that often happens to me, and so I have to be flexible. I need to be flexible so that I can do that research and find out what it is that I want to really see and do, because not always are the packages designed for that, but sometimes you can take that and then build upon it, you know, like you have just suggested, getting someone who gives you the best advice so that you find out before you go. That's the key. If you can find out from insiders such as yourself before you go, then you can make sure you have a great time. I travel a lot in China, and Chris went with me to China a couple years ago. And the problem is there in China, they have one view of what they think Americans want and what they want to eat. And so they're always trying to push you into that. But fortunately, because I knew what we wanted and where we wanted to go, as many times I went to the bus driver and I just would tell him, this is what I want. You know? And you'd say, we do not want to stop at the Silk Factory. We do not. We want to go straight to the Ming Dunes. You know?
Right. No more shopping.
Chris knows. I like to shop, but I'm a concentrated shopper. Right. I get my shopping done and very, quickly.
Mm-hmm. And it's good to know that, isn't it? It's good to know that because a lot of times you're stuck with a group or somebody, and that group will spend, say, 4 hours in a store, for example, or a shopping area. And to me, I'd rather dive and shop, even in America. My wife does the shopping for clothes and everything for me, factory, because I hate it. And so we've been on trips where they've spent hours shopping, and I just leave them. I'll say, I'll meet you back at the hotel at 5 or whatever, because I don't like shopping.
Right.
And I think, too, you have to be careful not to get dragged into those standard shops where everyone goes.
Right.
And it's very hard sometimes when you're in a foreign country. I know as a single woman, I often travel by myself, and so I will hire someone to drive. And it's sometimes difficult to get them to understand what it is you want.
Right.
And they're afraid. I know I had to actually ditch a driver. I had to sneak away from a driver in Nairobi. The hotel told him not to leave me, and so he was following me everywhere. And I just felt like I couldn't go to the stores and do the things I wanted to do. And so finally I ditched him, and, I got a scolding when I got back to the hotel. I had a great day, but it was because I had done my homework ahead of time and knew what I wanted. And they're not used to travelers being that assertive and knowledgeable. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes you have to, find out your information in advance.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have an example real quick I could share about that, about just kind of like my expectations of the vacation. When I was living in England, I took a all-inclusive package holiday to Mallorca, to Mallorca area in the Balearic Islands there in the Mediterranean. And I, as being an American, I never heard really much about what an all-inclusive vacation is, And it's great, for some people, right? It has its advantages. And so we got to the hotel.
Why don't you explain for a second? Why don't you explain for a second what all inclusive does mean, in case somebody listening doesn't know?
Oh, about all inclusive kind of.
Right. What is an all inclusive?
Sure. Yeah. It's great for it's a one set price that all your airfare is included, all your meals, breakfast, lunch, dinner, your hotel, your transportation. You kind of really don't have to do anything, really. I mean, it's kind of like the tour company or the travel agent takes care of everything. It's like you don't even have to even worry about where your next meal is, because everything is all planned out for you and everything. And it's really good for for some people who enjoy that. Can really appreciate that, but for me, I'm kind of more like an independent traveler a little bit, and I also like to try many different restaurants when I'm at a destination and try the local culture, some of the all inclusive ones down in Mallorca area has all the meals are inside the hotel.
Right. So boring.
Yeah, and it was a 3-week all-inclusive too.
Oh my word!
We were down there for 3 weeks, and it was so cheap too. Like it was very inexpensive. We got it. I think it was like £400 or something. I mean, some ridiculous price. But after 3 weeks of having the same breakfast, lunch, and dinner in the hotel. And you know what? Everybody in the hotel were all British people too.
Mm-hmm.
So I felt like I was just like back in England. You know, I wasn't meeting any local Mallorca people or any Spanish people. And the person I was with, we were just like, oh my God, we have to just get out in the town and get out and meet the people and go off. So after like a week of having the same meals, and the meals were great. I mean, everything was unbelievable. Like, it was fantastic. And, I mean, you could tell a lot of people were really enjoying. And it was all-inclusive drinks, too, and everything, too. Mm-hmm. So everybody was hanging out at the pool bar, you know, down in the lobby all day. And but it just, like, say if I would have did my research a little bit better and kind of planned and really figured out what this is about, I think I would have changed. Maybe did like maybe half. You can like get half inclusive. Maybe maybe have your breakfast included or something.
Right.
And
also you know, Chris, one thing that's interesting that my wife and I have done before, and we recommend to several people, is sometimes the all inclusive package is so cheap.
Oh, I know.
I mean, sometimes it's cheaper than the round trip airfare only.
Yeah.
Right.
And
yeah.
So,
oh,
and
yeah.
So what we recommend is that they go take that package, check into the hotel. Like I mentioned on Zurich, check into the hotel, get that cheap, cheap, cheap rate, then maybe rent a car and spend one of those weeks going up to Granada or going other places.
Right.
And getting other hotels along the way and paying your own thing and then coming back, spend a few days at the hotel, go somewhere else, and it comes out cheaper for you in the long run.
Right.
And even if you're there and you have to buy all three meals, go out and have dinner at other places because you've saved so much money.
Yeah.
On the package, that you can do that and still come out way ahead.
Yeah.
In many
That's
cases.
Great advice, Jerry.
Yeah. Yeah.
One thing I want to mention is in planning the trip, and I've learned this the hard way. I was a travel agent for a long time, and then I started travel advice. But I've learned it's very, very important, and I think Linda probably knows this because she selects people to go with on a group, is that a lot of times, if there's a husband and wife going with some children, that it's usually one person that wants to do the trip or is inspired by the trip. And 90% of the time, it's the husband. It's usually the wife. Usually the wife is the one that said, we're going to go to Spain or we're going to go here. And the husband, in most cases, will say, okay, sounds good. And he will go and be pacifying the wife. And the children will go. But what we've discovered is that everyone going, when they know they have this 2 weeks, 1 week, or whatever trip, that if everyone sits down and say, you know, this is what I want to do on my vacation, on my time that I'm going to be gone. And we've actually, in extreme cases, we've recommended that husbands and wives take separate vacation because what they want can't be done in one place. Or go, maybe the wife wants to do Switzerland. She wants to go hiking through the Swiss Alps. And the husband really, honestly, wants to go to England and follow some of the historical things of England. So we'll put them in a week, if they have 2 weeks, a week in Switzerland, doing what the wife wants, and a week in England doing what the husband wants.
Mm-hmm. And
so in the planning process, don't hesitate to be honest with what you want, because most Americans don't have unlimited vacation time, and usually it's only 2 or 3 weeks, and well, you better get the best out of it. So it's important to, like when you plan your trips to, let's say, China that Chris went on, Linda, I know you're on radio, but are you selective on who goes or make sure they understand what they're getting into?
That's what I do is I make sure I educate them ahead of time about where we're going and what we're going to do. And, you know, I don't plan everything around what I think is best, well, what I want to do, let me put it that way. I try to have a variety of different things, and I never object when people go off and do things themselves. I, in fact, encourage them to do that, to enjoy themselves while they're there. And I just try to educate them about what is safe and what is not safe to do, you know. But I think that's a wonderful way for people. You know, I've taken a lot of people with me on trips where they've never traveled internationally, and they probably wouldn't go the first time by themselves.
Right.
You know, not everyone as brazen as I am and would go off and do these things by themselves. But, you know, I sometimes encourage it. If it's your first time, don't be afraid. You know, if a couple can't come to terms with the same, you know, thing that they want to do, you know, try to find someone else to travel with that you'd feel comfortable with and shares similar interests and likes, and you have a better time and enjoy yourself. But don't be afraid to try something on your own. I think the greatest challenge that people have is saying, okay, I will leave this group. And I don't understand why it is on a package. Like when I took the group to China, all their meals were taken care of, but I never objected when the group went off to someplace else. Like some people wanted to go to McDonald's. Now, first of all, I would never go to McDonald's anywhere else in the world.
I know.
Yeah.
And
I didn't
they gave
go
me
here.
A great deal of trouble about that, right, Chris?
Oh, I know. Oh, I was cracking up. I was like, you're in China. Oh, man, have some Chinese food. Yeah.
They would come back and sneak little McDonald's packages into my bag and things to make people think I was eating McDonald's. And I have no problems with them except for the fact that when I travel, I like to try to immerse myself into the culture and into the community, and I really like to learn as much about the place. Not everyone has that same desire when they travel, and so for them, you know, getting a pizza in the middle of the trip is a good thing, or whatever it might be. But I think it's important that whoever's traveling together, you do take the time beforehand in planning to identify what it is that you want to get out of the trip. Because maybe if, you know, the husband likes golf or the wife likes tennis, those are easy to find almost anywhere. I mean, I'm shocked about how many places you can go to and go golfing nowadays.
Oh,
but,
everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
Everywhere, even in China.
Yeah. I mean, everywhere on earth you can golf. Even in Kenya, you're talking about Nairobi. You can golf in Nairobi at several places.
I know. And so you can, if you do your homework, you can find things that, you know, you will like. And in fact, sometimes, you know, on the way home, you stop off. And I call it my re-immersion. I always like to stop off into, if I can, into another country for a short period of time that kind of maybe is similar to America. They help me reintroduce back into society, so to speak.
It works, doesn't it?
It does. I just, you know, people were laughing at me when I went to the Amazon for 2 weeks, and then when I came back, I stayed a week at Disney World, and they were all laughing. They're like, "Boy, I can't believe you went to Disney World."
I know.
I said, "Well, it's just a real novelty when you go come back and you say, I have running water, and I can take and look at the water, and it's clean that I get my bath in." You know?
I know. Like sometimes when I do multi-countries in Asia, for example, I will go for a few days in the middle of it to Singapore because it is so clean, and I don't want to say sterile, but it's a little bit of America. Or if you're doing around Africa or something, you go down to Cape Town or Durban or Joburg or something, which is so American and westernized. It's nice to get cleaned up and just sort of refresh, to get reestablished and then start in again.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's always something to appreciate when you come back and you're like going, simple things like ice cubes sometimes. You're like going, I never realized how much I took them for granted. You know?
Hey, guys, it looks like we have a caller here, guys.
Great.
On Blog Talk Radio, yeah, somebody was calling in. So let me patch him in and see what type of travel advice he needs there. Okay. Hello, caller.
Hello, can you hear me, guys?
Hello, yeah, hi.
Hey, Happy New Year to all of you. This is Tim.
Oh, thank you.
Hi, Tim. Happy New Year.
This is a fun show. I just kind of stumbled upon it, so. I like the kind of playful interaction you guys have. So, real quick, I have a 5-year-old little daughter, and my wife and I are planning to take her to possibly the Basque Country this summer. Mm-hmm. And I just hoping maybe you can give me some high level tips for traveling with a 5-year-old and just kind of things I need to keep in mind. I've never done it.
Well, Tim, let me start first of all. In about a month or so, we're going to have a show strictly on traveling with children.
Oh, great. Awesome.
That you'll want to listen to. We're going to strictly talk about traveling with children. We're going to have my brother on, who travels all over the place with his 11 children.
Oh, wow.
And we're going to have a great person I know that specializes in booking travel for children on as guests. But to answer your question right now, and Linda and Chris, chime right in.
Okay.
The Basque area of both Spain and France are not really designed for five-year-olds.
Okay.
In the strictest sense. I mean, they're really not. There's nothing there. Well, no, there are some things there. But mainly the reason people go to that area is for the history and the food and the culture and the scenery. And that's the 90% of what is there. That's probably why you are going.
Correct,
and,
yeah. My wife's actually that descent, so yeah.
Oh, fabulous. Yeah, that's fabulous.
Well, she's got lots of family history there, so.
Oh, yeah. So you'll want to do, she'll want to spend time. And you know what? If you can find any living ancestors there, like aunts and uncles or even second cousins, prime that to your daughter, saying we're going to go visit cousin so-and-so.
Okay.
And because that will mean more, and they will start to bring in interesting toys that they have there, interesting games they play for you.
Cool.
And they'll maybe get cousins in. You may also, if you are going to be staying in hotels, email or call ahead to the hotel. If they're more deluxe type hotels, they'll have a concierge. And tell them you're bringing a five-year-old daughter and you would like to have a list of things that a five-year-old would like in that particular area to do. Now, they do have swimming pools if she likes to swim. They have wonderful beaches there. They've got great places for her to hike if you want to take her into the mountains. They've got things that are physical things that she would like to do. I'm not sure what she likes, but their music is wonderful. And if she likes music, you may want to get some records ahead of time of the Basque music so that she can get an idea of the rhythm, and because it's very different than the French music and the normal Spanish music that she might be used to.
Correct. She's been exposed to that, she loves that part. So, okay.
Fantastic. And so you'll take her to places. Find out if there's any festivals going on that might, because they have festivals, seems like weekly in that part of the world. But find out if there are any so that she can hear it live, watch them play the instruments and dance.
Great.
She can relate the music when she's actually in that country.
Awesome.
Area.
All right. That's
Linda, do you have anything to add, Chris?
No, yeah, I think, yeah, that the best part is just kind of, maybe show her, kind of educate her a little bit, before going, and somehow maybe on a children's map, you can get like a children's atlas at the library or at a bookstore, and kind of more interactive pictures, and kind of, you can even get a tape maybe about like the Basque region or something, and with the music and things like that. Yeah, that's
great.
Good. Yeah. Any comment, Linda? There, would you like?
Well, I was going to suggest that you find. I don't know. 5 years old seems young, but I'm just amazed at. I have some nieces that are quite young, and this last year I handed them my digital camcorder, and they started filming, and I could not believe how much fun they were having in looking through that camera and seeing the world from a different perspective. And then afterwards, we would download it to my computer, and they would take time telling me why that was interesting to them.
Oh, cool.
About
All right.
what is it. And it became like a diary log for them about their trip. And, there are some inexpensive cameras. It doesn't necessarily have to be a camcorder. It could just be photos. And then come back and have them help write, tell you about it. If they don't know how to write themselves, you can write it down for them. And then they begin to build a little book of their trip.
Great. Awesome. All right. I like it. I like all that stuff. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, you guys, that helps me. We will
–
maybe we'll take the five-year-old. Maybe we'll just go drink wine.
Oh. Well, actually, if you prepare her in advance, my brother takes all 11 children everywhere he goes.
Wow.
I mean, we're
That's
talking
fantastic.
All 11 children. And they have my parents have 7 children. I'm the eldest. And I went to Europe my first time when I was 3 years old. And my brother and we went to Europe and all over the world many times. But my brother under me hates travel with a passion.
Really?
When he turned 18, he's only left the U.S. once, and he's 61 years old.
Wow.
He went to Russia to visit his in-laws who were there, living there, and his wife forced him to go with her. And he stayed 4 days in Russia and came back. And he's never been back to the U.S. since.
That was it, huh?
So, I mean, you may get a different response. I mean, be prepared for any kind of reaction from your daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, 1 year apart, I love traveling. I've done it millions of miles. And my brother, his idea of a wonderful vacation is barbecuing in his backyard.
Right.
Ah.
And so I would also immerse her in some of the history of it.
Mm-hmm.
And not some of the gory history, but some of the interesting history. Because, I mean, not far from there is Lourdes. I don't know if you're Catholic or not.
Mm-hmm.
But it's interesting for them to see. And they'll hear about Lourdes all of their life. Take her to Lourdes. I'm not sure if you're going to be the French side or the Spanish side. But and you can might even take her to Pamplona if you're going to meet that part of the Basque.
Sure.
Or just to tell her that this is where Hemingway wrote a famous book about.
Right,
and,
right.
And, but he won't remember it at five so much, know what it's talking about. But as she gets older, it will start to mean more. Maybe she'll enjoy literature better and maybe history better. And
awesome.
And bring out all of the unique things, because the Basque area is one of the most fabulous places in the Iberian Peninsula in that area. Fantastic.
All right. Good. Okay. Well, thank you
very much. Have a great time, Tim.
Okay, yeah.
Thanks
again,
for calling, too.
Yeah, okay, anytime. We'll tune in some more.
Yeah, thank you for listening to Travel Advice. Yeah, and you can we're going to have shows about all about rail travel, cruises, European travel, you know, as traveling with children in the next few weeks here. So tune in, yeah.
And you can also, when Chris gets it downloaded, I know nothing about computers, but basically we have our schedule of what we're going to be talking about for the next 4 months.
Right.
We just planned it Saturday. So, Tim, listen in. Go on to online and you'll find our schedule as soon as Chris gets a chance to put it in.
Yeah. I'm gonna hopefully put it in, and then we'll have a whole layout all the way till May, I think, now, you know, of shows all the way till then. Yeah, that's great. Well,
fantastic.
I'm glad. Yeah, that was interesting. You know, last week we had an eight-year-old a girl call up and ask about her traveling too. So, you know, we're getting a lot of family people traveling with their families calling. And
I think it's fabulous that families are going together.
Yeah.
It not only solidifies the family, but it also helps the children get a very different perspective of life. It makes them much broader and enjoy life better.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And the fantastic thing is about it, if you can plan ahead to make sure that what you're doing, the types of activities that your daughter enjoys, then she will have a wonderful experience and will make it a little bit better for yourself.
And they even have McDonald's over there, too. So.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
She'll be right at KFC, so she'll be right at home.
Right. Well, it looks
probably
like
the most. Go ahead, Chris.
No, I'm sorry. No, Linda. Yeah, that's fine.
Well, I was just going to say, on the flight over, it's probably the most challenging time in the flight back when traveling with children on a plane, and you're going to be trapped in a tube for 6 or 7 hours. Really make sure you pick the right seats to sit in.
Yeah.
You know, be very careful about that. Either go online and go to some place like SeatGuru.com. Check out where the seats are before you select your seating placement, and that helps tremendously in making sure you're comfortable and that your daughter can be cared for and you can sit with her and not be split up.
Yeah.
And also, many airlines will have special meals.
All right.
Exactly.
That will emphasize the kind of food that she enjoys more than others,
mm-hmm.
and you can pre-reserve those.
Yeah, and always let the stewardess know too, or let the steward know about, you know, you have a child, and try to be real good friends with them. I think too.
I know.
So try to get a little extra treatment from those, from the people helping you out. Yeah.
Well, many airlines have little souvenirs that they give children traveling.
All right. Yeah,
little airplanes, little games, and little coloring books and.
Yeah.
All kinds of things, depending on the airline that you're taking.
Right.
And, but one thing I've seen, too, I had this last year when I was traveling, I saw this mother traveling with her son by herself, and she had made up his own little travel passport. And everyone that he met along the way that he liked and wanted to know something about them, he would hand his little book to them, and they would write something about themselves in there, about who they were and stuff. And so he ended up having this little book, and he was just having a great time, talking to people. And, you know, people get intrigued by, you know, precocious little ones like that as well.
I know.
Yeah.
And, well, you know, the nice thing also, I mean, if you buy a cheap Polaroid or something, he could take the picture on the spot and put it right in there.
That's right. Fantastic idea.
Yeah. Well, you know what? It looks like we're all out of time here. Like this,
wow.
The first show for Travel Advice in 2007, here and. That was great. Yeah, thank you so much, Linda, there for
my pleasure. This was fun.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And you helped me out a lot going to China. You're like my best travel planning. You know, you really prepared me for that trip. So.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. Well, thanks. And
thank Tim for calling.
Yeah. Thanks, Tim, and everybody else who's listening out there. We actually created a MySpace account too for the show for Travel Advice and. And it's a www.myspace.com/travel advice, all one word, travel advice. And you can listen to the show on MySpace now, too, actually.
Mm.
And we want to say thank you for all the listeners for the last three episodes, everybody who's listened in the last couple weeks here. And we really look forward to a great 2007. You know, I think it's going to be a great year to get some good advice and plan. You know, for the kind of life-changing travels, you know, and kind of trying to get the best experience for yourself. So.
Great.
Well,
yeah.
Nice seeing you and meeting you, Linda, and have a great new year. And Chris, as always, it's great talking with you.
Oh, Jerry, excellent. And thank you so much. And I'm looking forward to next week. And next week, I think we're going to talk about travel transportation options, the various, by rail or by, all different types of
cars.
Car.
Even hitchhiking.
Hitchhiking.
Okay. In some countries, that's a really good thing.
It really is.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Well, guys, happy New Year to everyone.
Happy New Year to everyone. Thank you.
Okay. Well,
see you next week.
Okay, well, and here's a, oh, what a world it is. You know, that's what I. Okay.
Well, good night.
Okay, good night.
Good night.
Bye.
Bye-bye.